Coloring sky, blush and blue. Scarlet fleece changes hue. Crimson ball sinks from view.
August 6, 2008. My name is Elizabeth Peter. I have been hosting this show since around October of 07. As I do at the beginning of each show, I would like to give you a brief outline of what you can expect from my show. The mission statement is simple. Let us focus on sharing joy, oneness, abundance, and gratitude at all times. Let's be ethical and use intuition, not fear. Friends, in this new galactic age ruled by ethics and integrity, since about the year 1999, we're fast approaching the fourth age. I'm quoting, of course, here from the Mayan calendar again. We're getting ready to enter the age of intuition by the year 2011. What an exciting time to be alive indeed. The only simple way is to be at this time, just to simply think, do, say, create, everything with the qualifier ethics and intuition. We have to get used to that. I'm not going to preach more about that anymore. For more information about me, please visit my website, redlotus.org, or shoot me an email to elizabeth@redlotus.org. I will try my best to take as many calls on air as I can, but if we run out of time, please feel free to email me with any questions. Again, my email address is elizabeth@redlotus.org. As I do at the beginning of each show, let us begin with the abundance intent. Let us take a deep, long breath, focus on our third eye, and here it goes. Abundance intent. I focus on the holy high self within as the only source of my prosperity. I know this inner presence as the only activity in my affairs, as it is the substance of all things visible. I trust in the principle of abundance in action within as without. So it is. Today, as always, I would like to encourage you to call in any time. I invite your questions, concerns, and feedback, and any thoughts and insights on the current or past subjects discussed on the Earth Harmony Show. The phenomenon of abundance, ethics, the secret, Mayan calendar, the light body, the Tarot, the sustainable prosperity revolution that I'm highly interested in. And of course, my guest, she calls it the etheric body that we will be discussing today. Friends, we may not have much time for readings today, but if you still want to call in, please make your questions short. Or if you have longer questions, just please email them to me, and I will make sure to get back to everyone. On today's show, my guest is Dr. Gloria Burrell, a fellow light shower, life coach, and motivational speaker. I'm honored to have her on the show. Hello, Gloria. Welcome.
Well, thank you, and it's a pleasure to be on your show, Elizabeth.
Okay. Dr. Burrell is the founder of Creative Insights, which began as an avant-garde business in the late 70s, dealing with quantum concepts, spirituality, and the subconscious mind. Using a proprietary process of encoding information into interactive visuals, which Dr. Burrell refers to as schematics, she taught individuals how to change, build, and heal energetically via these schematics. Schematics were not only powerful feedback for a client, but also taught them how to do things they couldn't see, such as love themselves, feel confident, move through fear, and so on. So in 2003, Dr. Burrell produced a radio show in Los Angeles called Heart-Mind Integration, which was a first of its kind show dealing with awareness of and learning to identify the energies we exchange with our loved ones, children, parents, friends, coworkers, and employers that created misunderstandings, hurt feelings, defensiveness, resentments, or a lack of connection and intimacy among everyone. So Dr. Burrell's research and work is now being validated by scientists such as Greg Braden or Dr. Bruce Lipton, Candice Pert, and many others. And so I'm really honored to have Gloria on the show today. I just wanted to ask you, my first question would be, Gloria, how did you come to this awareness, and how did you get in touch with your etheric body, like you mentioned in your work?
Well, Elizabeth, I became really aware of my etheric body, that part of us that we cannot see, when I was frustrated and dissatisfied with the answers that books and others were providing me when I asked the question, how do I attain a feeling of love for myself? And the key word is feeling. I was in my early 20s and had already had enough experiences to realize that because I didn't love myself, you know, I was not only dependent on others for feeling loved and lovable, but I was extremely vulnerable, meaning open to being deeply hurt. So I decided I would find my own answers, and that's kind of a theme in my life now, has been anyway. That began my quantum journey down a proverbial rabbit hole. Naive, determined, and desperate, I did. I did find answers. The first answer was so simple, yet radical for the 70s, and it made sense to me, which was this. Just crystal clear thought came to me that self-love had form and structure, just like a chair. You couldn't see this energy form and structure, but you could sense and feel it. Well, I've experienced someone, I'm sure all of us have, saying, I love you, and when they meant it, you know, you can feel it, right? Uh-huh. You've had that happen, Elizabeth, haven't you?
Yeah. Well, I understand, yes, you have been a real true survivor all your life, so this dialogue you're having, you're saying that you created an actual physical manifestation of this.
What I learned was that it, like I said, it had form and structure. So then I had to research to find what the form and structure was. So then, like the movie, in the movie The Secret, you know, it says we attract to us what we are thinking. Well, so with my quest to the universe to find the answer, I knew it had form and structure, but I didn't know what that meant. Radionics was then presented to me by a friend, and that was the next major stepping stone in my spiritual evolvement and the development, really, of Creative Insights work.
So how does that work? What is radionics?
Well, radionics is a paraphysical method of detection and identification of energy patterns and frequencies that are emitted by all forms of matter. Everything is emitting an energy frequency. And it originated from the research of Dr. Albert Abrams in 1863 in California. It was a revolutionary in its premise as it discarded the cell theory. Now, that was huge back in the latter 1863s. So that the cause of disease, Abrams felt, came from the etheric body of man. Radionics identifies the blocked, the distorted, and disharmonious energies in the etheric body and releases them. So it was Abrams who made the discovery that disease could be measured in terms of energy, and he devised an instrument with calibrated dials, which enabled him to identify and measure various energies from this came radionics. And I did have a machine for a couple years. I had a machine for a couple years, and then I sold it and still kept doing the work, realizing that I was actually really doing it with my mind, and that's how I started to become really in touch with how powerful we are.
Okay. So radionics is a stepping stone. It was a stepping stone for you into the energy world, vibrational medicine. Can you share a little bit about that? How did you get to know about vibrational medicine?
Absolutely. Well, yes, radionics provided an avenue for me to become intimately aware of the fact that everything is made of energy and vibrated at a particular frequency. I had become aware of the fact that self-love was made from energy, and now my eyes became like open wide, you know, to the universal truth that every disease, organ, hormone, thought, belief, intention, and so on was made from energy and vibrated at its own frequency. I was a radionic practitioner, like I said, for about 5 years, and I taught it, and I did body scans on individuals all over the world using a saliva samples, and that opened me up to Dr. Michael Gerber's book that came out in 1954 called Vibrational Medicine.
What is the name of that book again?
Called Vibrational Medicine by Dr. Michael Gerber, spelled G-E-R-B-E-R, and it was first published in 1954 and has been since, I think, revised and republished. It's an excellent book, and it's an extensive compilation of information on human energy systems, such as the chakras and meridians. Mm-hmm. He pointed to a medicine of the future and a shift in the paradigm of healing that would bridge the gap between science and spirituality, which is what we are now experiencing in 2000. He presented research that showed how the meridian system was the key interfacing system between the etheric and the physical body, which is amazing. So vibrational medicine looks beyond the physical body for the cause and remedy of disease. It looks to the etheric body, the intangible spiritual aspect of a person. So radionics put me in touch with the etheric body and laid a foundation for me that would serve me in my personal life later when I had some health challenges.
Because you mentioned to me once before that you felt like we must take responsibility for what we are storing on the etheric body. I find that very interesting because I think people take that extremely for granted, even with the knowledge that now we're in the times of quantum physics, and it's starting to seep, this knowledge is seeping into the massive subconscious.
Right. One thing, not only do people take it for granted, I think a lot of people, the mass public is what's really becoming or waking up, because a lot of people, including myself and yourself, we've known about the etheric body. So a lot of people, you know, the attitude was, what you see is what you get. Well, actually, it's the opposite. What you don't see is what's really important.
Well, and even if you do have the awareness, like you and I, it still takes an incredible amount of focus to get the mind out of the way, basically. And that's what I'm preaching about
here.
Is that we really must do our best to move away from the body, from the body consciousness and the mind consciousness, and more into the holy high self, or the etheric body, or the light body, what you call the etheric body. So this etheric body, since you do a lot of visualization, can you describe that to us just verbally? Because I've tried to post some of your beautiful illustrations. They seem like, okay, not a big deal, but it is a big deal that it has colors and it has beautiful energies to it, right?
Right. I want to back up and address one of the things you commented on. Yes, I think that even people who are aware of the etheric body do have a hard time knowing what to do with that information, acknowledging it. And so one of the things that I have done over the past 3 years with my work is I teach people how to go in, and I help them to re-remember how to love themselves, how to believe in themselves, how to know they have worth rather than keep trying to find it, how to know who they are and how to value themselves. When you can do these things, then you have the courage, then you have the strength, you have the foundation from which you can then. It's almost like it takes courage to look at this etheric body. It's scary when you're looking at it at a deep level, and when you're looking at it when you're in a crisis especially. So I really work with helping people to build themselves so that when things do occur in their life, they don't react. They choose what they're going to do rather than going into fear. that's what has kept me out of fear, is a strong foundation that I created, because I definitely didn't have it when I started this work.
Yeah, I bet. If you're just tuning in, I'm talking with Dr. Gloria Burrell about her fascinating journey into the world of vibrational medicine and heart-mind integration. She can be reached by email, answersforyou2@comcast.net, or you can visit her website, www.creativeinsightsforyou, and that's the number for you, the letter u.com. So, Gloria, let's go back to your personal experience. You've had a lot of traumas in your life, but one of the latest battles, so to speak, was when you had an actual scary experience, I guess I would call it, in 2007, when you actually had to walk your talk. Can you take a moment to mention that and how you took yourself to another level of awareness about that?
Yes, I was diagnosed with cancer in January 2007, and you know, when the doctor gives you your sentence, because that's really in some ways what it is, energetically, it hits you. It really knocks a person emotionally, mentally, and spiritually off balance. So first I had to really reposition. I cried because it's like moving some energies that kind of like got stuck in me. And then the first thing I said to myself was, okay, now you have a choice. And sometimes it's just a matter of a nanosecond where you choose between going into fear or looking at another option. And so what I said to myself is, okay, this is a blessing, and I will look for the gift in it. And that set the direction that I decided to go. I was not going to go into fear or stay in fear. Now, believe me, fear came up. I didn't stay in it very long because I knew it would overwhelm you, which it does. So by saying this, I really set the foundation for how I was going to deal with it. And then I looked at my options. And to stay true to my personal belief, I knew that chemo and radiation were not an option because they didn't address the cause, which has always been, even as a child, my quest. I want to know, why is this happening? I want to know what's causing it, because what will happen is if you don't get at the cause of what's causing your cancer, and there are many different levels that it is can be coming from, it ends up in the physical body, but it doesn't start there. So I'm kind of jumping ahead here, but
let me slow you down here. So for those people who are very much stuck on this, chemo and radiation for you was not an option.
Correct.
That is a huge statement, because that's the common, belief that that's where you go when you are diagnosed with this. And so the steps you took were you decided to immediately face this head on and go to the etheric body, right?
Well, what I did was I went inside first, and I wanted to know what was the cause. So I went into a meditation, into that intuitive spiritual part of yourself, that higher self, to find out, okay, what's causing this? Because I feel it ended up in my physical body, but what was I doing? Well, I was overworking. I wasn't balanced and working too much. I didn't play enough. So I had to look at what am I doing on the etheric levels, and there's more than one etheric level that you can be storing things from. It can also be a miasm, something that you bring in, a cancer miasm, which part of it was for me too. So I started to do research. I started to look at my diet. I started to look at products that are already out there that do work with cancer, and they have been very effective. So, there's just a lot of different aspects to look at if a person chooses to. Mm-hmm. But it's scary, believe me. The fear comes up because there's a lot of fear out there about cancer.
Okay. Is it correct that you also supported a fundraising effort with the Komen Foundation? Yet when you contacted them after you found out you had cancer and asked for their support in offering a class called The Spiritual and Emotional Causes of Breast Cancer, they would not support you.
Yes, that is true. I did teach four classes last year during the time when I was going through all my stuff called The Emotional and Spiritual Causes of Breast Cancer, but I did not have the Komen Foundation support. Dana on K103, a local radio station whose Race for the Cures team I was on in 2006, supported me by placing my class information on the radio website. She also felt too much focus and money was being invested in finding a cure for breast cancer that involved more drugs instead of being invested in finding, or putting out there the natural ways that cancer is being addressed. Because there are cures for cancer that most people were not aware of. And I don't know, to me that is a crime, as many women are enduring horrific emotional and physical pain to only find out that cancer returns or another part of their body has been damaged, which is what chemo radiation will do. And when I went to the oncologist who told me, and I was very calm, I was not into fear, which when you're in fear, you can't hear, you can't listen, you can't input. You really don't think very well. But I wasn't. I was very calm. And I listened to what she said to me. She said, okay, well, the radiation can damage your heart. I thought, oh, well, that's great. The radiation can also create lung cancer. I thought, okay, well, I've never smoked. That would be great. And it also, in 6 years, could create leukemia. And I thought, well, isn't this wonderful? You know, it's like, I mean, all she did was convince me why I am not doing chemo radiation. And I'm not against people who do it, okay? I'm just saying this is my path. And I think that people may choose other paths if they knew, if they really knew, as much as the Common Foundation is out there trying to find a cure, if they would just put as much energy towards showing the things, the other options, so that people can choose. That's the thing that really is kind of hurtful to me, that they're not putting out answers that people then, you know, they can make their own choice. But when you don't even put out things that give people an option, you just say, you know, it's either chemo, radio, or surgery, you know, and it's kind of sad that it goes that way, but that's the way it's going.
So that just proves the point of many of my shows, is that we have absolutely no other choice but not to rely on the existing systems out there, be it healthcare systems or school system, government system. The self, the human self, the higher self, the etheric body is the only real, true, reliable source. The quantum field that many quantum physicists and coaches like Deepak Chopra always sends us to is to go to the quantum field. That's where everything is stored. And that's what you're so familiar with. That's how I'm so impressed with the work you've done, because you were able to do this without any outside support. You basically, you know, walked a very uncharted territory here.
So. Well, my work is really uncharted territory. It's kind of like being a trailblazer, but that's what comes from people who really have a quest, I guess. I'm very determined. I want answers. If I can find answers that fit my truth, then I go looking for my own.
And that is so encouraging for every one of us here, because your health insurance is not going to be your safety net. It's really the more you become familiar with your etheric body, the more you become secure within your own holy high self, is the only way to go. And just be as true to yourself and have that dialogue, you can basically create miracles within your own energy field. And you were giving me some points before. When you did this journey, you said there were some points to this, facing the fear, et cetera. Can you walk us through those points?
Well, I'd like to talk a little bit about the fear, because that's really probably one of the biggest dynamics that we all face at different times in our life, whether it's a health challenge or financial or whatever. And cancer is an energy, you know, and I think that's the thing, that if more and more people can look at cancer, I mean, cancer is just like this horrendous monster, but it isn't. It is an energy, and that's why I call my cancer with an opportunity. It was a gift. When you change your thinking to seeing it as a gift, then it's not this horrible dynamic that scares you and you can't even think. So what I did when fear came to me, I just said, no, I am not going into fear, because fear will paralyze me. It will take away my power. And I am not going to give up my power, especially at this time in my life when I was very vulnerable with the sentence of cancer anyway, you know, that I was given. So I just want people, if they can, to just try to reposition and see whatever it is they're dealing with as a messenger. It is an invaluable gift, and it will open your eyes, and you will be able to grow from it. And I think that's the most important thing in our life, is to continue growing. So when I was told I had cancer, the fear came to me, and I just tried to change my thinking. I went into listening to my body. I just, like I said, I told it, no, I'm not going to go there. And I know that fear will attract more fear. And here's what happened when I did, because I'm not superhuman here. There were moments when I called blipping into fear. I would blip into fear. And what I noticed energetically, because I see everything energetically, was that it would attract the fear of the mass. And there's a huge mass fear about cancer. And boy, when I went into fear, it just poof, you know, it just pulled it right into me. And then you get overwhelmed. You can't even think. And so that's one reason why I don't stay in fear very long at all. So I don't know if that's
helpful. You were saying you're listening from the heart. Can you go into that? How do you do that?
Well, it's learning how to be quiet. That's one of the things I actually teach, and one of the schematics that I gave you to put on the, I think you're putting it up there, it's called listening to the heart. See, we are taught to be so mental. It's really hard to understand. The mental mind is excellent. It has a place. But when we need to get information on other parts of ourselves beyond the physical body, we need to go deeper. We need to go into the etheric body. We need to listen to the heart. I mean, there's many different terms, but it's basically about really going inside yourself, not outside yourself. So I got very still, I went inside myself, and I just got very quiet, and I listened, and I asked, I delivered a question, what is it that I'm to learn, what am I to do, and I listened. And so I tried to listen to that deep part of myself. You can call it listening from your heart, you can call it listening to your higher self, and you can call it, but the thing is, you can't go there if you're in fear, so you have to get very calm, and you have to move into trust. Trust is a thing that if you don't have, you don't trust yourself before something like this happens, then it's going to be very hard to quiet yourself. It's going to be hard to get away from fear.
Absolutely. And I think that is the major difference that you're pointing out here, is that I think a lot of people do not trust themselves enough. They think they're not worthy of curing their own problems, whatever that is, whether it's cancer or other things. And they try to seek outside solutions, outside help first before they go into themselves. And I really love your schematics, and I'm sure you're going to touch on that a little further later. But this was a major hurdle. Did you practice moving through this fear and listening to the heart, like on a daily basis? How did you manipulate that?
Yes. At first, because, you know, it's really interesting. You learn a lot about your friends, because I had people come up to me and say, you know, you're crazy. You need to do this. You have to do this. I mean, they just throw fear at you. And so, you know, it's almost like you have to go home and take a bath. So I had to, yes, every day I had to keep repositioning and staying strong, you know, because the mental mind, the ego comes up and goes, oh, maybe you're not being rational here. You know, maybe you do need to, you know, and I go, no, I'm going to stay with my truth. And my truth has been, since I was a little girl, that this physical body, and it's now being proved by scientists, that this physical body is incredible. If you know what to give it, if you will listen to it, it will heal you. It can regrow organs. I have always believed that, and I think that's what we're going to see as we go on, you know, is that people are regrowing organs. They are having their tumors and different illnesses, but you have to understand that there's many facets to this happening. You've got to, you know, in other words, some people can't want, oh, I want the cancer to just disappear instantaneously. And mine didn't instantaneously disappear because I had things to learn. Like, I learned about cutting the cords from, they did a biopsy on me, and so when I saw those little pieces of me in the vials on the counter in the doctor's office, what I realized is, oh, my gosh, there's 15 little pieces of me in these vials. And, you know, they're going to check them, and then they're going to push them down the sink there. But they're still connected to me energetically. And unless I cut those little energy cords, they will feed right back into me. And so that, I mean, there were things that I learned that I could not have learned if I would have had my in my situation anyway, if I would have had my tumors just bang gone, which I believe I have the power to do, but I'm a teacher and I always seem to do things a little bit longer or different because I want to learn. I want to learn what you have to do. I want to learn what a person goes through when they face the fear and, you know, and what, you know, where you have to go inside yourself.
You're a great teacher, look, Gloria, and you did walk the walk, and that's the only way, really, to be an effective teacher. And so what we need to emphasize here is this is not some kind of a denial process at all.
No.
It's so real. It's absolutely real. It's not some kind of a voodoo thing or some, you know, manipulation and denial. It's actual hard work that you've been doing.
I appreciate using that word denial because that is something that is really important to understand. There's a difference between denying you have something and saying, well, this is what I have and this is how I'm going to work with it and believing it with everything in your,
you know. You actually acknowledged it. So your journey, first part of the journey was facing the fear, cutting the cord, like you said, and then there was this moving through the fear process. What was your next step?
It's a lifetime process, I'm sure, but it had to do with increasing my trust, trusting that I can do this, that I can walk my talk, that I can learn what I need to learn, that I will have the information that I need to heal myself come to me, the people that I need come to me that provide either other ideas or things to, whether it's products or whether it's a subconscious thing. Because I work, my work deals, majority of my work deals with the subconscious. So that was, you know, going inside myself, going into the subconscious and saying, okay, what's here that could be blocking? Looking at my physical body, where do I have energy blocks? Because that's really important to understand too, that anytime you have, whether it's a headache, whether it's constipation, you've got an energy block, some kind of a block in a meridian or a chakra that's not moving. And so I had, you know, looking at that, and I got into doing Qigong and doing other energy work. So, you know, those acupuncture, trying to get my energies moving on a physical level. So there, you work on many levels. It's not just, you know, just one level. So.
It's beautiful how many healing abilities there are available to us, really. There's dozens and dozens of things that we have at our disposal. And so there should not be really any reason whatsoever why people need to choose such poisonous methods to cure themselves. That is, well, to me, that's almost the most deadly process. Really.
Well, here's the thing, Elizabeth, that was sad, very, very sad for me. You know, I taught 4 classes last year when I was going through all this and doing my business, and I was part of 2 expos, and I was a speaker, and I probably pushed myself a little bit too much considering I was trying to help my body to heal. But, you know, in my classes with women who the emotional spiritual causes of breast cancer that came to my classes, they all had or had had breast cancer. A lot of them had a return of it. And, you know, what was so sad was they were in so much fear. They just feared the cancer. It was like this horrible thing in them. And so they weren't able to really look at it as a gift, and they weren't able to look at what, you know, what is it that I need to do different. And so many of them were so surprised that there were other options.
Yeah,
and that's why I wanted the Common Foundation.
Like you said before, there are, most of us have all kinds of fears, various fears. For some of us, it's a physical body illness, others it's the fear of money or the fear of success or whatever. And so what spirit does is really basically takes away that very thing that you are afraid of. It's showing you, it magnifies you, magnifies it for you so that you can actually take it into a laboratory and work through it. And so in some of us, like in your case, it manifested in your physical body. But, you know, like in my case, it manifested with finances. And so when I worked through that, although it was a painful experience, it was an amazing learning experience.
Mm-hmm.
And so
yeah.
I can totally relate to what you say, that this is an opportunity to learn. And you learned to visit your etheric body. You are now very familiar with that etheric body, I'm sure, and you can revisit it any time, and it doesn't take that much effort, right?
Well, true, and you know, my work deals with the etheric body, but you got to remember too that, you know, there's inherited, there's a miasm, a cancer miasm. There's also another aspect that I believe was part of my healing, which was taking on some of my parents' stuff.
Oh.
The things, so this family history stuff that I took on that I had to look at. And I think all of that was really good because then when I work with other people, I can be aware that sometimes we're dealing with family heritage.
Yeah.
And that's not something you can see, again, you know,
yeah.
But it is something that will come out in the physical body. Depending on, sometimes it comes out earlier in life. It just depends on what kind of, you know, whether you've had a trauma or you let your immune system go below a certain point and then things that are down there come up. Now, I had a naturopath who said that I had mono back in the 70s twice, and so she said that the mono virus was in me, and she felt, it was her belief that mono is at the bottom of cancer. So there's a lot of different beliefs out there, and so I worked with my mono. Because maybe that was a precipitating factor. I don't think it was the only factor. So, you know, you start to realize how multifaceted it can be. And we're multidimensional people.
Absolutely. If you're just tuning in again, I'm talking with Dr. Gloria Burrell about her journey in the world of vibrational medicine and heart-mind integration. Please visit her website, creativeinsightsforyou.com. And that's with the number sign for you, the letter U, .com. Or email her at answersforyou2@comcast.net. Answersforyou2, again, is the letters answers, and then the number for you, the letter U, and the number 2. So, Gloria, what were those emotional spiritual solutions that you talk about in your lectures when you talk to women or you're doing your workshops? You have, you said you have 11 emotional spiritual solutions. Can you
Yes. If you're okay with it, then I'll just kind of go over them briefly. There are 11. They're not real long. But number one that I taught in the class, and this sounds kind of funny, although in Europe I think they're ahead of us, they actually do this in a class for a whole half an hour. But I taught the women and told them they needed to laugh 5 minutes every day. And you know, this is an interesting thing because before I taught my class, I was aware of this. And what I found myself doing, which a lot of people do, is I was waiting for something to make me laugh, like somebody say something funny or I watch something funny on TV or something. And then it came to me very crystal clear, Gloria, do not wait for something to make you laugh. You just start laughing. You can laugh in your car, laugh in the shower. It may look kind of strange if there's other people around. But, you know, when you laugh, it is so therapeutic. You are actually, I mean, if you, you know, try laughing, just a gut laugh. It brings energies that are stagnant in your stomach and in your solar plexus and first chakra and second chakra. It just brings them up and out. It just gets things moving.
Yeah,
and it is so amazing.
Right now we have, it's almost like you can hardly find any good funny movies anymore or funny entertainment situations anymore. Everything is just so serious and scary and fear-based and fear everywhere. So, it's again, we have to go against the grain and remind ourselves that of that funny bone.
You just set a timer and for 5 minutes. Now, let me warn everybody, for the first time you do this, you're going to go, oh, my gosh, you do it for a minute and you're, like, petered out. You know, it's like, oh, this is really hard work. And you know what? At first it is. And they actually say if you can last for 5 minutes, it's like an hour of running.
Wow.
So it actually is very caloric. You know, it does eat up calories. Yeah.
The
second thing is I taught them to breathe deeply. And we need more oxygen in the body. We don't get enough anyway. And when we're under stress or in a hurry all the time and multitasking, we go into shallow breathing, and if you had any kind of trauma or abuse as a child, you learned to actually stay in shallow breathing. That's the thing that I had to really, it took me years, I bet 15 or more years, to be able to breathe below my throat. I could never go into the chest. Now I can go clear into the abdomen. But a lot of people don't realize how important breathing is, and that's why even walking gets you to breathe. Anything that gets you to breathe, of course, is really good. But I think if we become more conscious, like during the day, just remind yourself, take a deep breath, slow down, and that, again, helps with your energy system so that you're not collecting blocks or energy blocks in your body. Then I teach them to, I say, let go at the end of the day of all that stuff we collected during the day, all that little stuff, most of it's little stuff. They said this, who said that. I mean, just stuff, you know, where we make assumptions about people or things, or we worry about this. Worry is a very damaging dynamic. Doesn't really get you anywhere, and it just always keeps you in the future. So I, you know, talk about that. Then I talk about forgiveness. A lot of people who tend to have health issues will have something about whether they don't forgive themselves or they're not forgiving others. Forgiveness, when we don't forgive, blocks our energies. It's like holding on to something and just not letting go of it. And take your fist and hold it as tight as you can, and after a while it becomes numb. You even forget you have a hand there, you know, and so you can start causing it to atrophy just by the circulation doesn't go to your hand because you're holding it so tight. So we did this with our whole body, so you can imagine.
It's a huge subject in itself.
Yeah, I know.
Then I go on for years of therapy just on the forgiveness process alone.
Yeah, it's just a misunderstood energy. Forgiveness really is not about the other person, it's about you. And I know when I went to forgive some of the abuse that I went through, it for some reason was easier for me, because as soon as I found out that when you don't forgive somebody, you actually carry their energy around with you, and I go, wow, I don't want that energy around with me, so I'm going to cut the cords here and let them, and I free them to do whatever they need to do to move through their healing, and it frees you. So there's a freeing process involved in forgiveness, and it's not about condoning, liking, or agreeing with what happened. But we think, if I forgive them, I'm letting them off. No, you're letting yourself off.
again, the forgiveness, could that be also traced back to your family karma, like you're carrying around things that may not even be a part of your makeup?
Yeah. I was one of those little girls who took everything on. You know, I kept thinking that if I ate the energy in the house that it would be calmer or something. But, you know, it wasn't, of course, but I didn't, you know, it was something I had to learn.
That's interesting you put it that way. If you ate the energy, that would be
calmer. You know, like in the plays where the person goes behind the horses and they pick up the, you know, the droppings. That's what I felt like I did at our home.
You actually absorb it with your power.
Yeah. No, when I first got into my work, I had to pull so much energy out of me that wasn't even mine, that I had stored in me. I kept storing it, thinking that would that would clean up.
And I'm sure that you're speaking for all of us with that. You know, it's so we're pervasive. And we are at a time, again, that's what I'm so excited about, the times we are living right now. I feel like we're at the very end of karma. We are reaching at the very tail end of this karmic process that will have no time anymore to deal with karmic stuff. It's just consciousness is speeding up so fast that we have to release it right now. And
well,
that's
good,
how
yeah.
healing... you know, all these healing abilities and processes that have been available for thousands of years, but we didn't pay attention to it. Now the masses are ready to embrace them. And so people like yourself are such amazing, you know, that I call it light showers, because you know, lead us into the right types of techniques and healing work that you've tried on yourself. And so it brings us closer and closer to getting rid of all this karma.
Yes, and I think that what's happening, I see it all around me, is that the time span between like even a thought and the manifestation of that thought or a cause and effect has lessened. So that, let's say that maybe you had a thought before, oh, I'd like this to happen, and then it'd take maybe a year for it to happen. Now it could take an hour or a day. So the time span between cause and effect has really, really shortened. And that really is creating a lot of pressure and panic for people, because things are happening. And if you're not monitoring your thoughts, and if your thoughts are real negative, then you're having some deep doo-doo stuff happening to you, you know. And it's all meant to wake you up. It's not meant to be bad. It's all meant to wake you up. But sometimes
this is why a lot of people choose to go into unconscious behaviors like drinking or addictions.
Uh-huh.
Cannot get rid of this attachment to the mind. However, intuition and the state of bliss that you feel when you're in your etheric body is so fast. It's kind of like I compare it to a basketball game or to a when you're in a flow, like in traffic. You know, you cannot afford to go into the mind and then start to figure out what you're going to be doing at that particular second moment. It's just you have to flow very fast. And that's the kind of age we're entering in just a short few years. So If we don't prepare for it now, I don't know when we will be able to, to deal with it. So this is all preparation for us, I believe. Things like what you went through on the physical level or other things that we're losing. You know, we're losing our material things. Homes, money, attachments of all sorts, that is all physically manifested. It's mind-based and third-dimensional, so to speak. But anyway, so let's go forward. So you have laugh, breathing, and
go and forgive, small stuff.
Don't sweat the small stuff. Forgiveness, and then what?
The fifth thing is gratitude, and it's teaching people to take time to focus. It's really about focus. It's focusing on all the things you have. We have so much in our life. We don't realize how much we have, whether, you know, just even having a home or having a vehicle or having a job or being able to see, being able to hear. There's so many things we have that we take for granted. So when we focus on what we have rather than a habit of focusing on what we don't have, that actually changes our whole energy, the energy of gratitude is a beautiful, nurturing spiritual energy, and it feeds you, it makes you feel good, lighter, it gives you what you need to be able to do whatever you need to do during your day. So it's a wonderful energy, and so I put that as number five. And then number six of the solutions is to love yourself and value yourself. A lot of women don't like their bodies, they don't like their breasts, they don't, you know, like who they are. And when you have cancer, especially breast cancer for women, it can definitely be about loving who you are, loving your body, finally come back to your body, stop rejecting it, stop using it to, you know, sexually to get what you want or whatever, but just love it. And love yourself, and that's just so big. I've learned that so much, and I didn't have that kind of a issue, not a big one. I was molested as a child, but I'd done a lot of work on that already. So that wasn't a big one for me, but still, I did learn some more things about love. Then I also talk about getting in touch with your spiritual beliefs, because you want to get in touch with them before you have hardship. Are you still there?
Yeah.
Okay. You want to get in touch with your spiritual beliefs. What are your spiritual beliefs, you know, before you, so that they support you when you are in a crisis?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's so important. Don't think that, you know, when you have a diagnosis of cancer that all of a sudden you're going to just go against what everybody else does, because that's hard. I mean, you can, but it's really hard, and that's when you have to do a lot of homework if you do choose that route. Stay in the present moment is another one. People are so into, it's just a habit. The only moment we have is this moment right now. Right now while we're doing this show, Elizabeth, this is our only moment. It's not about tomorrow or yesterday. And yet we're always thinking about tomorrow, and then sometimes some of us live all the time in the past. So I started to teach them how to stay in the present moment. And I do have a schematic on that. I had to learn that myself. And then I also teach a concept, and it can be a belief system, that to make everything that happens to you, I don't care what it is, about that it's about learning. It's an opportunity to learn. If you can take that attitude, boy, does it serve you. It's just a huge, very well-grounded belief system. So I encourage that. talk also about worth, them really getting in touch with the fact that they have worth regardless of whether they think they do or not. And let's see, keep your focus on what you want instead of what you don't want, which is big. And then avoid giving away your power with fears. I get into that again about avoid giving away your power. Fear really rapes you of your power. And then when you don't have power, you don't realize you have choice. So, and one of the things that I wanted to say that I feel the work that I have been doing since the 70s is really about helping people to go inside to be able to be strong enough so that they can do the things that you talk about, which is be more into their higher self. I really think that it's hard for people to do that. If you don't love yourself, I mean, why would you want to go into your etheric body or your listen to your higher self? I mean, you know, if you don't value yourself, if you don't believe in yourself, if you don't even know you have worth, and all of those things are very spiritual concepts. They're
well,
in you.
All those points you talk about is really about the self. And
uh-huh.
The self has been oppressed, suppressed, thrown out by the powers to be for thousands and thousands of years, ever since, organized religions came in. Ever since our consciousness on this planet has been shifted from the ancient times where the self was celebrated into an oppressive, almost like a slave-like existence. And so that self, which resides in all of us, is now going to be free in the age of intuition. And so these are the steps, like you said, you know, we're taking the healing steps through various healing methods and to liberate the self again. It's always been there. It never disappeared. It was just oppressed.
You know,
it causes all sorts of disease and both emotional, mental, psychological,
exactly,
physical, etc.
Elizabeth, actually, I don't know if I told you this, but the book that I'm writing right now is Reclaiming Your Life Essence. It's about living from your spiritual blueprint, and it's really what you just said. It's about going inside, and I talk about 10, I call them foundational bricks, but in the book I just call them that they're part of your spiritual blueprint. But they're about going in and learning how to reconnect with your self-love, because it's there. It's just got all this lies and all these critical comments put on top of it, everything that, you know, you've gotten since day one or even in the womb. And sometimes you bring things in from other lifetimes. So all of that stuff just is like a coating on top of our own self-love. So that's what this book is about. It's real basic, a real basic concept to the work that I do.
Well, we'll have to have you back on the show again and talk about your book another time. Do you have any parting comments about the discussion?
What I would just like to say, and I want to thank you so much for having me on the program, is that the new way of thinking that is manifesting right now is the realization of the general public that we are multidimensional beings. This, of course, is not a new concept, but to the general public it is, and that's the thing I'm trying to stress. We are more than just flesh and bones. Cells and protein, we are composed of the stuff of the universe, which is actually frozen light. Mystics throughout the ages have referred to us as beings of light. Science is now validating the basic premise behind this statement. You know, the physical etheric interface is an important link to our health, and that's what we've been talking about through this whole show. So, for instance, science is now showing how acupuncture and meridians are carriers of etherically based biological information. Now that is powerful.
Huge. Exactly.
It's so exciting to me. So it takes the responsibility for our health back on, or it places the responsibility, I should say, back onto the individual's ability to listen to their body. So, you know, scientists like Greg Braden, Dr. Bruce Lipton, Candace Pert are showing us that our mind and our beliefs can alter our DNA. Our body is just amazing. And so the last thing I want to say, hon, is that the understanding of our multidimensional nature and application of the subtle energetic healing modalities will allow medicine to evolve beyond its present-day need for drugs and surgery to less traumatic and more natural systems of healing. So I embrace that today and our incredible bodies for being so forgiving of our negligence and arrogance.
Very good for you, Gloria. Congratulations for all this work and that you conquered this, for most people, frightening event.
Mm-hmm.
And our time is running out. This discussion was incredibly rewarding for me. I'm sure many listeners who joined us will agree. I'm honored that Gloria took the time and shared her wisdom and such a personal experience with us today. Again, dear Truth Seekers, please feel free to email Gloria at answersforyou@comcast.net or visit her website at www.creativeinsightsforyou.com. You can find these links on the webpage on BBS Radio or email me at elizabeth@redlotus.org with any questions, ideas, suggestions. And Gloria, please join us with the closing gratitude intent that I always do on this show. Let's take a deep breath. I'm grateful, and I know now that there is nothing that I could truly desire that is not at this very moment standing at the door of my consciousness, ready to appear in my life and affairs. I have only to be conscious of this truth, and every need is met, every problem solved, every question answered. My consciousness of the God Self, Holy High Self within is all I will ever need for all eternity. And so it is. Thank you so much, Gloria.
Namaste, Elizabeth.
Namaste. Friends, our next show will air live on Wednesday, August 20th at 2 p.m. Please check in for more info on future topics or guests on Earth Harmony on our web pages on BBS Radio. Thank you so much for tuning in and joining me today. I'm Elizabeth checking out. Until we meet again next time. Blessed be all.
Can I believe what I see? All I have wished for will be. All our race proud and free.